Yeah, 8 o'clock hour with Alex Donner, Rashad Butler with you on 790 The Ticket, taking you up till 10 o'clock tonight. So how about that? Rashad just learned 5 minutes ago that AEW wrestling exists.
Correct.
Now we're watching it on TNT. I don't know what we're watching.
I had no idea.
Are you a big wrestling fan?
I was growing up, and this was back when you had the WCW and WWF.
That was my jam, the NWO.
Yeah.
When, in the late 90s.
And Stone Cold.
Monday Night War.
What a time to be
alive.
Yeah,
Monday
Night
Raw.
That was like the greatest time, in my opinion, because everyone will always say, well, back in my day. But I'm telling you, best time to be a wrestling fan was late 90s, like 96 to 99.
Correct.
The Monday Night War is between WCW's Nitro and Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And then if you stayed up like all night, you could watch ECW like on Sunshine
Correct.
Network.
Uh-huh.
That's the Friday night.
So good.
That's if you had a bad night.
I always had a bad night.
If you had a bad night out in the streets, you can always come home and watch some ECW.
Yeah, man, so wrestling. Great, man. You know, back in those days, and I don't want to make it sound like wrestling isn't good now.
No, it sucks now. Don't even worry about it.
Well, listen,
great back
it's good.
Then.
They just don't have characters.
Exactly. And I said that when I was on, I want to say maybe last month with Amber, you know, she was giving me a hard time about liking wrestling growing up. I'm like, listen, wrestling now just doesn't have the characters that wrestling back then had. And I mean, you think about Stone Cold, and I can go back before him with like Bret the Hitman Hart. Owen Hart, his brother Mankind, Goldust. You had all these like characters that were just so great. The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, you know,
Kane,
like the 1-2-3 Kid.
Yes,
you know? Yeah. Who I think later transformed into the
X-Pac.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Like all these guys, like Ted DiBiase, who became the
Million Dollar Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All these guys.
Could you do like his Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of my favorites.
Oh,
like,
man.
Could you do that character today?
No,
on the WWE.
No, you couldn't do that character today. No.
Yeah.
Not to drop names here. I did his podcast.
Really?
In LA. I asked him that. And he
Seriously?
Said, yeah, I asked him that. I was like, dude, right now with the PG era and everything like that, that's why Cena was perfect when he was a full-time wrestler, because Cena was the I guess you could say modern day kind of Hulk Hogan. But relatable to the kids, because after that Attitude Era, they had to scale back because of FCC.
What about The Rock?
Rock would be all right.
Yeah.
No,
Rock,
I know, and to
Rock
your point.
Rock would be all right. He would push the envelope, but he would be all right. But
okay.
Austin's whole thing
and
was.
And you could not do D-Generation X today did it then.
Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
And even they had to scale back their antics. When you were talking about that time during the Monday Night Wars and we had three legitimate promotions going at it, it was fun because it was entertaining and you really got with the characters.
Like, I remember being in high school and literally showing up to school and seeing people wearing Stone Cold 316 shirts.
I wore an NWO
t-shirt. I had
an
NWO
shirt.
Yes.
Black and white. It went with my kicks. It was great. I was styling with it.
Man,
that was so good, man.
Those were the days,
dude. And
they really were.
I can remember when I was because I was in like middle school when it was like the peak Monday Night Wars
era.
Oh
yes,
and like I can remember like I so badly wanted to go to live events.
But
the thing was like my parents hated wrestling. Like my dad never wanted to take me to an event. Like I was finally able to in like 98 go to a live event, but this was right when the WCW was really starting to suck. Like, this was when they were on like a downward turn.
You probably went to a Monday Nitro at the BBT Center.
I did, but the first one, because I went to a few of these, because eventually like I found like a friend of mine in middle school whose like parents would take him. I went to, in like 98, a WCW house show. Like, it wasn't even a televised event.
Oh, it was a
event.
House show.
It was an embarrassment. Like,
they don't care.
They didn't have, like, no pyrotechnics. There was no set. It was literally just, it was in the Miami Arena. It was literally just a ring in the middle of the Miami Arena. And I'm watching, like, matches that are, have already been done before. Because it was, like, last week you just had, like, the week prior you just had Ric Flair and Randy Savage work the exact same match. Like, same spots, the same moves, same duration. Like, they had just done the same match on a Monday Nitro, and they redid it in this sad-ass house show, like, four nights later. And I'm sitting there, like, I can't remember who took me. Like, it might have been, like... I think my dad took me. I'm like, wow, like we paid like $50 for these tickets when they're just doing a sad recreation of last week's Nitro.
You know what's so crazy is all of the crossover that happened back then, because at one time you had a lot of the WWF guys like Ric Flair, Macho Man Randy Savage, all those guys coming from WWF and then going to WCW.
Yeah, I think Hulk Hogan became Hollywood.
Exactly.
Hogan.
Because
that was the best thing ever.
Because I remember to me when I was growing up, I remember the original WCW. I think
you're talking about NWA.
No. Listen, before that, to me, the real WCW before NWO took over was always it was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Sting.
Yeah, like the NWA days. That's when they were the NWA before they turned to WCW.
I don't know about that, but
this is the geekiest argument that has ever been had on this radio station.
Because I remember Sting back then, he had the blonde hair, and his nemesis was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And then when NWO came in, that's when Sting kind of had the black hair with face paint and so forth.
They completely ripped off the movie The Crow.
Correct.
Oh, it was clearly The Crow.
Yeah, but to me, the original WCW was always... You had Sting with the blonde hair and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
And Lex
like
Luger.
Those two characters. Yeah, and Lex Luger.
Yeah.
The torture rack. You know what?
Yeah.
I've been waiting because I had a friend of mine who's got a kid who's a little bit older than mine. Like, one of the proudest moments he had as a father was when he was confident his kid was, like, big enough for him to put his kid in the torture rack. I think I'm, like, a couple months. Because, like, if I put my 20-month-old in the torture rack, I'm kind of worried he'd freak out. Like, I need him to be old enough to understand what's happening.
He's got
to
be three.
I'm, like, a year away from being able to put my three-year-old
Trust
in the
me.
Torture. It's going to be awesome.
You're going to enjoy it. It's, like, one of the best feelings of life. I put my nephews on. Yeah, it's beautiful. They laugh.
Oh, man, I can't wait for
that. Listen, I can remember how many friends I had that were putting their brothers and sisters in the sharpshooter of the Boston Crab.
What about the full Nelson? You ever put somebody in the full Nelson?
No.
You
just
go I don't think I ever them? Did the full Nelson.
You just grab behind them and then put your heads across their neck and just force them. Yeah, full Nelson was great.
Oh, man. It's a texter writes in, wrestling is a circus show for entertainment. It's not a sport. Well, I mean, that doesn't mean we can't enjoy it.
I agree.
Seriously. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy it.
True.
Okay, it's not a sport. The outcomes are predetermined. I don't even watch the product today, but I still live in the past that was 20 years ago because it was off the chain back in the late 90s, man. Oh, man. Do you think do the college football playoff, did they get it wrong? And if they did get it wrong, does it even matter? Because I feel like when the first batch of rankings come out, they understand that some of the problems that they create will naturally sort themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to create conversation. Like, I think the committee loves the fact that when they release the rankings on a Tuesday, on Wednesday, every show on ESPN, every sports radio show is going to be breaking it down.
Correct.
They surprised a few people with what they put out there. Ohio State at number one, LSU number two, Bama three, Penn State four, and the defending national champs, Clemson, actually on the outside of the top four at number five. The Clemson thing, don't get your panties in a bunch about that, because Clemson, if they win out, there's no problem. Like, there's no problem.
Correct.
Because OSU has a head-to-head with Penn State later this month.
Big Ten championship as well.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Bama has a head-to-head with LSU coming up a few days from now, so one of them is going to have one loss.
And SEC championship.
And the SEC championship
Correct.
Game. So Clemson, they're probably going to run the table, probably going to win the ACC
they
title.
They should.
They're going to end up being a top four team. So I know that Clemson fans think, oh, we're being disrespected because we're the defending national champs. How are we number five? We haven't lost. Well, number one, the committee is very transparent that they do not use anything that happened before this year as part of their criteria. Mm-hmm. So being the defending national champ, something that happened last year, is not relevant to this year's rankings. And I think Clemson fans need to understand that even though, okay, You can only win the games that are on your schedule, and your schedule may be weaker than the teams in front of you, but also one of those teams on your schedule that you beat 21-20 against North Carolina, that could have and should have been a lot more impressive. So you have to understand that's going to penalize you here.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised seeing Clemson on the outside looking in. My problem and my biggest surprise was just how Ohio State trumped both LSU and Alabama.
Now, I'm with you on that. I thought yeah. LSU should have been number one.
Now, I can understand the argument of trumping Alabama because it has been known or said by a lot of people, whether they were Alabama haters or even, you know, people that may have been neutral about Alabama, that they really haven't played anybody of yet so far. So the argument for Ohio State being ahead of Alabama, okay, I can somewhat agree with that. But LSU, who has played Florida already, who has also played Auburn.
Yes.
I mean, you can't tell me that Ohio State has played two teams of that caliber yet this right. Yet so far this season. And that's my only thing.
Yeah, I think to me, LSU, in my opinion, the clear number one.
Correct.
Maybe you can make an argument for Ohio State or Bama at
oh,
number two.
Oh, and I can't
two.
Forget, sorry, they played Texas. Now, I understand Texas yeah. haven't looked so strong of yet, but Texas was actually ranked very high coming into the season, and they went up to Austin and beat Texas.
Who do you think your final four is going to be?
Because
I think
you know, this game this week is really so hard to pick a favorite.
It is.
Because I think both teams are good. I guess I would give the edge to Alabama just because LSU's dominant pass rusher, Divinity, I mean, he's been dismissed. Yeah. So I think that's going to hurt them a little bit. So I guess I'll pick Alabama. Man, I think Oregon's going to end up in there. I really do.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I think, like, Oregon is just going to chill while all this
Correct.
Chaos, you know, takes over. Uh-huh. And, you know, they're over there. They feel disrespected because of the East Coast bias. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, they did lose to Auburn. But if you're going to lose one game, week one is the yeah. perfect time to lose a game.
Correct.
Because you have plenty of time to recover in the eyes mm-hmm. of the committee and the pollsters after you lose, you know, an early season game. So I'm with you. I can see Oregon getting in.
So right now I have Alabama, I have Oregon,
Ohio State and Clemson. That's how I finish mine.
I have Clemson. You know, Ohio State, I want to put them in, but I really like Penn State. I mean, Penn State, they're a tough, tough football team. Now, do I think they have what it takes to beat Ohio State? Ooh, that's the real good question.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Ohio State. I'll just say that.
Okay.
So right now,
I'd love to see it. I yeah. love hating on Ohio State.
So right now, I'm kind of teetering between Ohio State and Penn State for that last spot. But I think three lock-ins for sure for me is Alabama, Clemson, and Oregon.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then my other one I put in Ohio State.
Okay.
I think that's how I finish mine.
And, I like that.
And it's crazy to think that Alabama has gotten in to the playoff every single year of the college football playoff.
It is.
You want to talk about a spoiled fan base. I mean, we talked earlier in the show about how, you know, you and me, Rashad, we don't like to talk a whole lot of trash. Like, before, we'll talk trash after.
Same. Uh-huh.
We don't like to talk. Now, Vlad puts himself out there before. He mans up if he's wrong. I can remember meeting up with some Bama fans at a sports bar, like Nick Saban's first year. And this was, keep in mind, he had just left my Dolphins at the altar.
Okay.
So, you know, I still despise Nick Saban to this day, largely because of that, because of the way he did the Dolphins dirty. But I can remember trash talking these Bama fans, like, oh, this guy, he's got no soul. He's terrible. I hope he loses everything at Bama. I hope he fails to resurrect your stupid program. And if any of those Bama fans who I was trash talking to in 2007 remember that, they're all thinking, wow, what an idiot that guy was. Like, I mean, all these years, all these championships, all these college. I mean, how many titles has Saban won? I've lost count, which is kind of
well.
Sad.
I know he's won one in LSU.
I'm talking just Bama. Like, how many has he won
Bama,
just in Bama?
What, three?
Are we sure it's not more than that? Feels like more than three.
It does, but I think it may be three because he won one. So he won one in, what, 2009 with Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram.
And then he won 2012 against
Correct.
Against
LSU.
So right there, I think that was the second one.
Uh-huh. And
they beat Manti Te'o's Notre
Correct.
Dame.
So
and then haven't they won at least two in the college football playoff era? I think we're talking five.
No, because one year they got beat by Ohio State with Zeke Elliott. Remember
right.
that year?
and they beat Clemson, lost to Clemson once.
So four. I think it's four. Jeez. I think it's four. Yeah.
Still.
I think we narrowed it down to four. Man. If anybody thinks we're wrong, please text in and let us know. But I think it's four.
I mean, Nick Saban, if you're listening, please correct us. Maybe his wife Terry is listening. She's a big fan of the show. You know, we were talking about moving NFL teams. A texter writes in, "Does Canada support the NFL? That's much closer."
I agree.
Yeah, they do. Oh, mm-hmm. and they also before the Bills were bought out by their current owners, the Pegula family.
Yeah.
Because they had a really bad ownership situation. It was a transitional ownership situation they bought it. And they had the NFL, again, they like the Mafia League. They like to threaten to move teams. They had basically threatened to move the Bills to Toronto.
Makes sense. I love Toronto. Great city. Amazing.
Great city.
And it's funny because a lot of the Bills players, they spend their off days and even a lot of their off season in Toronto because I think from Buffalo to Toronto is equivalent from Miami to West Palm Beach.
You just have to climb over Niagara Falls or something.
It's equivalent from driving from Miami to West Palm Beach.
Really?
Like they say it's about an hour and a half drive, if that. And they go there all the time, like on Tuesdays, their days off, or even like in the off season.
So on that conversation, is Buffalo, is that like the worst NFL town? Green Bay, that's got to be in the conversation.
Well, see, Green Bay has like that nostalgia because, you know, their stadium is owned by their fan base. You know, Buffalo doesn't really have that nostalgia. So I think Buffalo may have to take that crown because Green Bay, yeah, there's not a lot to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But the one thing I love about that stadium when you actually arrive upon that stadium is it's like in a neighborhood. Like it's smack down in the middle of a neighborhood. Like you literally have people houses within, I want to say, maybe a block of the stadium. Awesome.
By the way, I think I'm way late and a dollar short for this, but how about some headlines?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Got to remember, I'm new to the 790 The Ticket format. I'm still not even 560 The Joe. I'm still on the 560 WQAM format from the good old days before they renamed the station.
Yeah, we get carried away sometimes.
We do get carried away. Miami Heat play the Suns tomorrow on the road in Phoenix. Now, what happened in Denver last night? I'm glad I didn't stay up to watch the entire game. You're going to have nights like that.
Yeah.
You're playing at altitude. I was happy that they only let Jokic score 9 points. I take that as a victory, but Denver's bench was fantastic. Miami's bench was not fantastic.
Yeah, they couldn't buy a bucket last night.
You're going to have nights like that on the road.
No, I agree.
And listen, we should all have learned by now that when you're talking about 82 games, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly.
I think they're going to put last night behind them very quickly and bounce back with a dub in Phoenix tomorrow. Florida Panthers back in action tomorrow. Speaking about fan bases not being patient, you know, when the Panthers weren't so great, like they had a great month of October, but first few games in October, the results weren't there. I saw people trying to write that team off. Like you have to understand, 82-game season, just like the NBA.
Wow.
They've got great coaching, great goaltending. They now are getting the results I think they deserve. People need to be patient with them as well.
Wait, hold on. In hockey, they play 82 games?
82.
I never knew that.
82.
Yeah, they play the same amount of games as the NBA.
Now, listen, I knew they played a lot, but I didn't know 82. Wow, that's a lot.
And you got a lot of checks, a lot of hits, a lot of sore bodies. Yeah, that's rough.
That's a lot of games.
And those are manly men, right?
I agree. Because, they are.
In any other sport, the second a couple guys fight, everyone freaks out. Like, oh, you need to suspend them for the rest of the season. Oh, they're fighting. In hockey, you fight. Like, that's part of the game. Now, you do get a five-minute fighting major after you fight, but it's considered a part of the game to let them duke it out.
I met a hockey player one time. I can't remember his name, but I was just surprised at the bulk and the size of him. Like, he looked like a NFL defensive end. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, these hockey players are big because to be that big and to be that athletic as far as on skates and doing what they do. After I saw his size and I met him, I gained a lot of respect for hockey players. I must say that. I really did because he was the size, like he had to be at least about 255, 260 and about 6'2", 6'3". And I'm thinking to myself, that's a big guy to be out there skating around, checking people.
I love, on the other side, we'll talk about this, a narrative died over the weekend, and that narrative is Jaren Williams can't throw the deep ball. We'll tell you how he fixed it next. 1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess up. By the way, Rashad, a texter writes in, yes, Saban has won 5 titles at Bama.
Okay.
2009, 2011, 2012, 2015, and 2017.
Okay.
So all that trash I was talking when Saban first got there to those Bama fans, you'll never win with this clown. He's soulless. He's terrible. 5 titles later, they're laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, talk about a spoiled fan base. I mean, listen, I have been alive for most of the Miami Hurricanes championships. I just missed. I was not born in time for 83. I was not really aware enough of 80. I was born in 84, so 87, I have no recollection of that. But 89, 90, 91, 2001, plus a couple of championships they should have won in between those, right?
Now, is it safe to say that Nick Saban is the first Bill Belichick disciple to have success?
Yeah, and not even at the pro level, the college level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which because is kind of nice. So Belichick has owned the NFL. He's the greatest of all time in the NFL. Saban, I think, is – listen, I don't go back to whoever was, like, coaching the undefeated Yale Bulldogs in 1905. But for my money, Saban is the greatest college football coach of all time. So
yeah,
that coaching tree – yeah, that coaching tree has owned those two levels. Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Oh, man, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, a texture writes in for you. You've been missing out if you haven't been watching the NHL – plus, the goal horn sound is awesome. I don't know if that's like the big selling point for me to watch it, but it is pretty awesome when they score a goal and the horn goes off.
I can imagine.
So I loved what I saw. Miami not only beating Florida State convincingly on the road, which is always nice, 3 straight against Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I see some Florida State fans who are whining on Twitter because Miami fans were bragging on social media. Like, these Florida State fans trying to say – they're trying to take away my fun by saying, oh, you guys shouldn't be bragging about beating us because we're not even good. Like, don't pull that card.
I agree.
If they had beaten 4-4 at the time Miami, you know they would be bragging.
Exactly.
Those are the rights you earn in a rivalry. In a rivalry, no matter how great or how bad or mediocre the teams are, when you beat an in-state, historic, hated rival, you earn bragging rights for an entire year. And Miami now has that. 3 years running. Believe me, Florida State fans, I have some in my own family. We're talking plenty of trash during their, what was it, 7 straight years?
7.
7 straight years they beat Miami for 7 straight years. My cousin was talking trash to me. I finally now get to return the favor for 3 straight years. You cannot try to take that away from me.
You want to know what's funny? So I only lost to Florida State one time. That was in 2005. So my record is 4-1 against Florida State.
Pretty good.
And
it's not Brock Berlin good, but it's pretty good.
And when they beat us in 2005, true story, they had players crying after the game to finally get over that hump.
Wow.
Like, players had tears in their eyes. And I'm not going to mention those players' names because, you know, I'm friends with a lot of those players, but they literally had tears in their eyes.
So you never cried after a big win?
No.
Okay.
The only game I cried was the game that was taken from us.
Ohio State?
Ohio State, yeah. Yes.
I don't blame you.
And there was a lot of guys
I cried after that game. I didn't even play in the game. I'm just some dope sitting on my couch, and I cried after that game.
There were a lot of guys in the locker room along with coaches that were shedding more than a few tears.
Yeah, I cried in solidarity with you, my brother. Mm-hmm. I was crying after that game, too.
Yeah.
It's one of the low points of my life. Seriously. Jaren Williams, he was exquisite on the deep ball. Had the 39-yarder to Jeff Thomas in the first half. What was it, a 55-yarder to D. Wiggins to seal the game. Had a couple of other nice deep throws. He hit Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan, by the way, who's he's banged up. He's a game-time decision for this week.
Okay.
I hope he can play.
Same.
He had a big deep ball to Mike Harley as well. So, because one of the criticisms out there that the Kosi Hive specifically had for Jaren Williams was, the kid can't hit the deep ball. Well, he has now silenced that narrative, and Jaren talked about it today. There were a couple things that I was doing, he said. That's why I wasn't getting the full strength on my deep balls, and that's something that Coach Enos pointed out to me. It's something I've been working on, but I definitely have the arm strength to get it out there. Clearly he does because we saw it. It's just in terms of me having the right mechanics and making sure that I deliver the ball how I'm supposed to. So during practice, Enos specifically pointed this out to Jaren. This is from a Miami Herald piece. He's like, sometimes you kind of fade away, Williams said. You got to step into it, bring your hip through, and stay level too. if you're up and down, you're going to be inaccurate. Just stay leveled through your throw. And Jaron went on to say that this was apparently a bad habit that he developed during this season, something he said he didn't have before the season started. But this is something apparently Dan Enos noticed and helped him correct. And, you know, if this past Saturday is an indicator, we can hope his deep ball issues are behind him.
Well, I think one reason why he probably had that problem was because at the time the offensive line was still very young and they were just getting their feet wet. And Jaron probably didn't have a lot of confidence in those five guys up front. And that's fair because he was getting hit and sacked
a lot.
That's a
great point because, like, how do you – and I know this all happens in a second, but you do have to consciously plant your feet and go through your throwing motion. And how can you deliberately do that if you're afraid every second somebody's coming to destroy you from your blind side?
Correct. It's very tough. Listen, I never played quarterback, but I can only imagine what quarterbacks have to go through when they're playing behind a very – poor offensive line. But over the past few weeks, this offensive line has improved more, and I think we've seen better quarterback play from even Nikosi and now Jaron. So I commend the offensive line for stepping up their play because I think it has a lot to do with the way both quarterbacks have played of late as far as looking pretty good compared to how they looked earlier in the season.
Yeah, definitely. And listen, you think they get the win against Louisville, another home game this week? Tougher game than we thought it would be, that's for sure, at the start
of
the season.
You know what? I do. Miami, to me, is ascending. I think the only game that is going to be a really good game is the game against Duke. But to me, if they come out and play aggressive defensively, then I don't see anybody scoring on a consistent basis against this defense. And I think if Jaron is able to mature like he's matured over these past couple of weeks as far as understanding what it takes to be a good quarterback in college football as far as studying the game plan and knowing the game plan as well as the coaches do, then I think we're going to see a similar Jaron Williams performance that we saw this past weekend in Tallahassee.
You know, you and I were both Miami guys. We're Canes. You know, we both went to the university. You actually, you know, played at a pretty high level. I watched games and heckled, but we both went to the university. And when we come back, I want to discuss a little bit to give our two cents on a conversation, a really long conversation that Zaslow and Amber were having on their show about the lack of support that so-called UM fans give to UM teams. They were very critical, and I'm not going to rip them to shreds if you think that's what I'm going to do, but there were parts of their conversation that I thought were a few cheap shots because, you know, they both are Gators at heart.
But again, they're cheap shots because Gator fans can't talk because as soon as Tim Tebow left, a lot of Gator fans, they exited the bandwagon pretty quick.
That's true. Pretty quick. That's true. Now, there were parts of their conversation that I thought were fair. But I think there are reasons why those issues exist. So I want to get into that when we come back. Dono and Rashad Butler with you here on 790 The Ticket. So I was listening to a conversation that Zaslow and Amber were having this morning, and, you know, Zaslow kept claiming that he wasn't taking shots at the UM fans, but that's something you say when you are taking shots, right?
Like
he was taking some shots, but his big point was, and I guess Zaz and Amber thought that the crowd for Miami-Louisville in basketball last night was lackluster, that it should have been, you know, standing room only. It should have felt like an NCAA tournament atmosphere because the number five team in the country was in town. They were not satisfied with the crowd at the Watsco Center.
But I'm pretty sure those days before Florida had Billy Donovan and those days before Joakim Noah and Al Horford, I'm pretty sure that Florida wasn't selling out games like that. Now, granted.
Right. And also to the other side of that, I can remember going to regular season ACC games in 2013 when they had Shane Larkin and everybody. And you know, they ended up being, you know, they won the ACC that year. Probably should have gotten farther than they did in the tournament, Sweet 16. But they that place, the Watsco Center, was standing room.
It was
rocking.
I remember.
But the point that they were making was, and he said he wasn't taking a cheap shot, but the point he was making was that he feels like, you know, all of the rowdy University of Miami fans are really UM football fans, that they don't really support the university. Like, they're not really supporting basketball and women's basketball. They're just supporting the football team.
And that's fine. To me, it is.
Well, it makes sense because, and this is not me making excuses. Uh-huh. This is me making facts. If you are really going to support the university, which means you support the diving team and all the basketball teams and the softball team, then that probably would fall to someone who is an alum or really has ties to the school. And
bingo.
Like, how many of us in this city really went to the University of Miami? I did. You did. But I know plenty of people who have degrees from FIU, who have degrees from state schools in other parts of Florida, who have degrees from Miami-Dade College, Broward College, Nova Southeastern, who support UM football, because that's what it's always been. When UM football became a phenomenon back in the 1980s when they started winning titles, it was UM football was to this city very much what USC football was to Los Angeles, where Miami football was like a pro team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was like another pro team that, because the alumni base is tiny because Miami is a small private school, but people from this city embrace the University of Miami football team, whether they went to FIU or Miami-Dade or wherever, because that became a team. As soon as Howard Schnellenberger started recruiting all over town, he went into the inner city. That became a team, Miami, that represented the 305, that represented Miami, and people got behind it. They were never really behind the university. They were behind UM football.
I remember watching Trojan War, that 30 for 30 of USC back in 04 and 05, and literally what they experienced in L.A. as far as like having guys like Snoop Dogg and so many celebrities like Will Ferrell come to their practice and come to their games and be on the sidelines. I kid you not. True story. I know Vlad can back this up. In 01 and 02, we had that same nostalgia around the city. Like, we had people like Puff Daddy, Jay-Z, and Beyonce literally coming to our games in 01 and 02 on the sideline. Like, I'm a 19-year-old, and I'm saying to myself, like, wow, like, I was just watching this guy on TV, like, not even a day ago, and now this guy is standing, like, a few feet away from me. Like, to me, like, I can't blame half of Miami for just being University of Miami football fans, because we have spoiled them, because at the time we were the biggest show in the city. Like I said, like the same thing USC experienced in LA was the same thing we experienced in Miami. Like, people came to see us. People weren't coming to watch Jason Taylor and the Dolphins and Zach Thomas. And listen, all due respect to those guys, because I used to love watching those guys on Sunday with Ricky and so forth, or even the Miami Heat. But again, it was the Miami Hurricanes. Back in 2001 and 2002, it was all about UM. And again, I can even go back and say 2000, the year before I got there.
Oh, like, yeah. Should have won a title that year.
Like, those 3 years, we were the biggest attraction in Miami. And I can see why Miami fans just became became the University of Miami football fans instead of supporting any other sport that the school had. Because again, at that time, the only big sport that the school had that the city could actually get behind and gravitate to and be proud and actually brag and talk, you know, noise to their friends about was the football program.
And listen, I would love every UM basketball game to be a sellout, because I think Jim Larrañaga deserves that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's an unbelievable coach. And he does a tremendous job, and we're very lucky to have him here. I would love every game to be a sellout, but realistically, first of all, there's not a lot of college basketball fans in this town, period.
That's true.
College basketball, it's just, like, honestly, the only reason why I ever got into college basketball was when I started filling out brackets in high school. Like, and even still to this day, outside of Miami games, because I watch and support my team, I watch very few college basketball games that don't involve Miami. When I see people from other parts of the country going crazy on a night when Kentucky is playing or UConn is playing, I could not care less if it's not a tournament game. Because once the tournament comes around, then I care.
Correct.
I've got brackets on the line, money on the line, whatever. But when it's not Miami, you cannot pay me to watch a regular season college basketball game. It's if there's anything else on TV, I will choose. If there's an NBA game on, the Heat are playing. If there's like a marathon of Seinfeld on, I'll watch that over a college basketball game not involving Miami. And I speak for many people down here. But the other part of it is, since so few people here actually have ties to the university,
because
it's a small university to begin with. Plus,
it's in a big city.
And you can, I'm sure, verify this. We were there around the same time. I was there 03 to 07. Mm-hmm. You were there from, like, what, 01 to 05?
Correct.
So many of the people I went to school with were from the Northeast. I went to school with people from California, Chicago, New York, Boston. So a lot of that alumni base, they're all around the country. They're scattered around. And, again, this is not me making excuses. This is me making facts.
True.
That if you want UM basketball to matter to this city, to people who don't have ties to the school, people who probably went to FIU or other schools, if you want that to matter to the culture of this city the way UM football matters to the culture of this city, you have to not only win but sustain winning.
Well, not just that. You know, I think – I hit it on the head with what I just said, and I think you alluded to this a little bit.
By the way, I love you made such a great point that you're even saying I hit it on the head. And yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You did.
Because at the end of the day, Miami is a big city. And you look at where the University of Florida is in Gainesville, that is a college town.
Right.
So
right.
They're able to go to a lot of other sports that may exist as far as basketball, baseball, women's softball,
because I know that, like, what would Gainesville be if not for the University of Florida? That's
true.
Like that's the reason that city exists.
Uh-huh.
That's like their economic purpose. If you don't go there, you either work there or family members of yours work there. The reason why you live there is because somebody in your family worked there. Like it's almost like you think about, you know, the glory days of Detroit, that you probably lived there because either you or a relative of yours worked for Ford or worked for General Motors. Like the University of Florida is the reason why Gainesville exists. That's the reason. That's their economics. That's their culture. You can't say that about Miami for really any one business because it's a big diverse
city. I agree.
Gentlemen, it's a Tuesday night in Miami.
Yeah.
Beautiful night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You staying home to watch the first game of the college basketball season?
Exactly.
Or are you going to experience the nightlife in South Florida?
Exactly.
Well, if you're talking to me, I'm staying home and watching the basketball game.
But you know what? Dono, he made a great point. Dono said it makes sense for in a city like Miami where there's a lot to do and it's a pretty big city that the only people that would, I guess, come out and support UM basketball or UM baseball or just other sports other than football would be alumni and people that have went to the school.
Right, unless the team is coming off a championship.
Correct.
Or contending for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think Miami can have a nice year, but, you know, we're not talking about Duke, right?
Yeah.
Like, so
I agree.
So, and again, there was a lot of buzz for UM basketball in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can remember going to a game at the Watsco Center, like, against Clemson.
Same
here.
It was
a full house, standing room only.
So, I remember.
Yeah, so if you win, you're going to make people from the city who don't have ties to the school care about it, but you have to win and sustain it.
No, I agree, because I remember that year in specific, in my offseason, I went to the Duke game that I think happened in, I want to say, mid-February that was down here, and that place was packed. I mean, it was almost like standing room only.
Yeah.
So you made a good point. But, you know, going back to what Zaslow and Amber said, it would make sense in a place like Gainesville because it's just a college town.
Right.
And really, I'm not trying to, you know, throw any shots here, but let's be honest, there's nothing to do in Gainesville except go to a UF basketball game or a UF baseball game.
Everything you do in Gainesville, it exists because the university is there.
Bingo.
Right?
Exactly.
It's like you go to a bar in Gainesville, Florida student. Like, the only reason why that bar is in business is because the University of Florida is there. The only reason why you live there, for anyone who lives there, is you either go to school there, went to school there, or you or a family member work at the school. That's the reason why that city exists.
I agree.
I was about to give out the Joe text line. God, what station am I on? 67974 on the text line if you want to reach us. Big 9 o'clock hour coming up. We're with you till 10 o'clock tonight here on 790 The Ticket.